Okay, so let's read that scripture. He says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesied edifieth the church. When we prophesy, we are speaking forth God's message in a known language for the church to benefit. But then when we speak in tongues, we may not understand what we are saying. Go to verse 2, the same book, the same chapter, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. Mysteries. When you speak in tongues, you bring forth mysteries. Mysteries about your future. Mysteries about the work that God has given you. You speak mysteries. And until those mysteries are brought into this world, they may never happen. Are you following this? Okay, just for the records. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That means in esoteric language. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Next verse. You love this. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Okay, next verse. Next verse. You see it now. It says, but as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You see it? The things that God has prepared for you are revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. How? He says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Can you see that? For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Okay, read the next one. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. My goodness. Next verse. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Oh God. Comparing things spiritual with spiritual. Did you see that? I wish I had time to major on that. Glory to God. Mysteries. Mysteries. As you speak in tongues, you speak mysteries. You speak mysteries. And that's why he told us that the one who speaks in tongues, you pray that he might interpret. Because there are mysteries being spoken. And if they're not brought into the understanding, you may never walk in the light of those mysteries of God. Because they are hidden wisdom. You are praying about your church growth. You're praying about the success of the ministry in that city, in that country. Then God, if you pray in tongues, the Spirit of God will bring the mysteries, the things you need. He will bring them to your spirit, but they might be spoken in tongues. But you need to bring them. And then when you speak in tongues, he also gives you that ability to interpret.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So, if you're a minister of God, you must pray in tongues. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. You have to pray a lot in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go to verse 18. Let me show you something. Verse 18. This is Paul the apostle. We all agree that he was very successful in ministry. Look at what he said. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. That's Paul the apostle. If he had the boldness, the audacity to say to a whole church, I speak in tongues more than you all, It means he spoke in tongues a lot. And he knew it. You can't just stay there and say, amen. It's finished. Is that your own speaking in tongues? It's not enough. It's not enough. And you can just, it's not enough. Speaking in tongues is the language of angels. It's a language. It's a language. And so when you pray in tongues, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, go to verse 13. Let me read something to you from verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Have you seen that? Aha. Next verse. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. You see, that's how to pray in the spirit. You pray in tongues, but your mind doesn't know what you're saying. That's what we read in verse 2 of the same book and the same chapter. He says, no man understands, but in the spirit he speaks mysteries. So he says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. If you don't pray in tongues, there are things that should happen for you that will never happen until you pray in tongues. Listen, why it's so important that you pray in tongues? Human prayer with human language cannot go far enough. Your human language is corrupted and therefore will not appeal to a holy God. You have to understand that. So it gives us a spiritual language to communicate at the highest level. What you cannot say with human words, you can say in tongues. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance. Which means you don't choose the words by yourself. The Holy Spirit chooses the best words to appeal to the mind of God. So when you are praying in tongues, you are praying the highest kind of prayer. You are praying the holiest kind of prayer. So pastors, ministers, evangelists, all ministry, you want to be successful with it, you must pray in the spirit. You must pray in tongues. You must pray in the spirit. No shortcuts. Give time to it. Give special time to praying in tongues. Give special time to praying in tongues. If you pray in tongues long enough, nothing can stop your success. Nothing can stop your growth. Nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still there? Yes. This is very important. Praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, your spiritual eyes will open. You start seeing visions. I never saw visions until I started praying in tongues. When I started praying in tongues, I started seeing visions. What did the Bible tell us? He says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He said, the old men shall dream dreams. The young men shall see what? Visions. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't see visions. When he says the old men shall dream dreams, he doesn't mean the gray-headed men in church who dream dreams. That's not what he's talking about. He means those who are fast passing away. They'll be dreaming dreams. But those who are young in faith, they will see visions. Hallelujah. You see visions. 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 How do I know the things I'm supposed to do? Visions. I see visions when I pray. I tell people, I don't know, what happens with you when you pray? For me, when I pray, I see visions. Otherwise, there's no way to do the kind of things we do. How can you do them with human understanding? And when you are in ministries like this, you will collide with spiritual forces. You will. You will collide with forces. But you see, before you ever get to that level, you must have been resolved. You say to yourself, come what may. That's it. You fear nothing. Then you find that you are pushing forward continually, making further inroads for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Speak in tongues for a second. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've spoken in tongues sometimes for hours. You know, you're just speaking in tongues. Sometimes you're not able to stop. You just keep speaking until your stomach, you know, is hurting you. Speaking in tongues. But when you are done, you will know that you have settled things in the realm of the Spirit. After you have done that, in the realm of the Spirit, things are perfected. Then you have a walkover on earth. You have a walkover. So, it is something that you're going to do for yourself. There are certain things in ministry that other people can do for you, but there are some that nobody can do for you. There's some that no one can do for you. One of them is prayer. No one can do your praying for you. They may pray for you, okay? But they cannot do your praying for you. Do you understand that? Yeah, you can hire anybody to do something, but you cannot hire someone to pray. It's not going to work. You're going to have to pray yourself. And instead of saying so many things in your own understanding, and saying so many things to try to convince God, speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. You know, sometimes the Christians, ministers looking for what they call a breakthrough for something. You don't need any breakthrough. Speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you will change things in the realm of the Spirit. Glory to God. Okay, now the second thing. Still on praying in the Spirit. Okay, the second thing is in Romans chapter 8. Let's read from verse 26. Hallelujah to Jesus. Okay, look at it. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. He didn't say we don't know at all. He says, as we ought to know. We don't know what to pray for as we should. There are some things we know to pray for, but we don't know enough. Sometimes we want to pray, we don't know what's behind the case. This is likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, Old King James translation says itself, it's supposed to read himself. The Spirit himself maketh intercession for us, oh God, with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is a different type of prayer. This is not speaking in tongues. Groanings that cannot be uttered. In speaking in tongues, the Bible says we have utterance by the Holy Spirit. In these groanings, he says groanings. You know what it is to groan? There are sounds of that as though one is in pain. As though one is going through some excruciating pain. The kind of sounds you make when you are displeased and pained about something. He says it's the Holy Spirit. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So that means the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer.
The Holy Spirit is our helper, teacher, guide, comforter, and so much more. Learn how, in the place of prayer, the Holy Spirit prays for us through us according to the will of God. All this and more in this next segment. You are watching the International School of Ministry Ministers Network Conference with the man of God, Pastor Chris. This conference had in attendance over 5,000 ministers representing over 105 nations. Be blessed as you watch.
I told you, without the Holy Spirit, how can you be successful? This is a special kind of prayer where the Holy Spirit, in fact, where he says the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, it means bears us up in our weakness, in our limitation. He bears us up where we are unable to proceed. You get into this kind of prayer and the Holy Spirit supports you. You see, he has to do it through you. He will not do it on his own. So don't sit down and say, well, the Holy Spirit is praying for me. No, he wants to pray for you through you. He says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes there are many Christians who find themselves in those groanings, but because they don't understand and they have never been taught, they wonder whether something is wrong. They say, Pastor, when I pray, I find myself crying and I don't know why. I say, continue. Don't stop. Don't stop until your crying turns to laughter. Don't stop. That prayer, when the Spirit seizes on you to pray like that, when you yield yourself to Him, you go, They say, what is wrong? Nothing is wrong. It's prayer. Something is going on. Something is going on. All that's coming out of you just deep sighs. And sometimes you will feel exactly like what that person that you are praying for is going through. You find yourself going through that pain as if you were the one suffering. If you don't pray like this, things will be happening. Bad things will be happening to members of your church. And you will have no solution. You find children dying. Young people dying. Older ones dying. Different kinds of things happening. Terrible things happening to members of the church. Why? Because that pastor doesn't know how to pray in the Spirit. And he hasn't taught the members how to pray in the Spirit. But if they learn how to pray in the Spirit, you find members telling you, Pastor, last night I was sleeping. I just woke up. And I found myself praying, groaning. I don't know why I was praying. But I kept praying. Then the next thing you hear a mighty testimony. Someone was going through some terrible thing. And the Holy Spirit woke up a member and caused him to pray in the Spirit. There's a networking. There's a connection. That's why in some churches there are always wonderful testimonies. Why in some churches you say, does anybody have a testimony? Everybody be looking around. Everyone's looking around like, you know, certainly he's not talking about me. So you'd wait 5 minutes. No one's hand is up to give a testimony. But in some churches, people are rushing to give testimony. something has happened. They all have testimonies. Churches where they pray in the spirit, they have testimonies. Churches where they don't pray like this in the spirit, hardly do you find any testimony. Everybody's quiet. Pastor says, does anyone want to testify of the good things the Lord has done? Maybe someone will finally get up and say, well, I want to thank the Lord. He blessed me. So, what did he bless you with? He said, well, I woke up this morning. Thank God. That's not a miracle that you woke up this morning. It's a miracle. Well, that's normal. Okay, so how do groaning in the spirit, does it just happen? Do we just say, okay, you know, like somebody said, oh, we told the congregation to get up and let's all start groaning in the spirit. Well, that's not going to work like that, because it says the spirit help us. The spirit. So it is initiated by the spirit. But do we have any role to play? Emphatically, yes. And I'll show that to you. So that you don't sit down there and say, well, you know, I thought that if the Holy Spirit is ready, he will make me groan in the spirit. No. There are things you must do. Let me show you two scriptures. I'll start from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 64. Let's look at verse 7. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Did you see that? It was at a time in Israel, and people weren't doing what was right. And the great prophet here says, and there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Which means there was an expectation that people should stir up themselves to take hold of God. Stir up themselves to take hold of God. Which means you have a responsibility to stir yourself in the things of God. Hear this. After you have come to Christ, you have a responsibility to walk in the Spirit. He tells you, walk in the Spirit. Do things of the Spirit. Live according to the Spirit. It's God's calling upon your life. To stir yourself to take hold of God. You know, it's about your mind. Let's look at it. Your mind is a tool that you can use for good or evil. Your mind. You stir yourself with your mind. You start with your mind. Whatever you want to think about, what you do is you turn your attention to it. You see it? You turn your attention to it. If you think upon God, like he says, oh, let Jerusalem come to your mind. It's your choice. You call to mind. You can make yourself so busy about other things you don't want to think. Like you might decide, all you just want to do now is play games. All I want to do, I just want to talk with someone. Oh, I just want to read a nice novel. I just want to read newspapers. I feel like discussing politics. All that is a work of the mind. Even while you're here, you can choose. I'm going to listen to everything Pastor Chris has to say. And you can say, well, I'm not sure whether I want to hear or not. It's a choice. Your mind is a tool. You are the way you are today, not because God made you so. You are the product of your mind. Remember, the Bible tells us, be ye transformed by what? Changing your way of thinking. But be ye transformed. He said, be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the way the world is. The way the world is taking you. He says, but be transformed. A metamorphosis. That's what he's talking about. He says, but be transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you're going to find yourself in the perfect will of God, there must be a change in your mind, your way of thinking. There are people who sit in a church. They are members of a church for 25 years. For all those years, they have never paid attention to the pastor. And so they have never grown. They still reason very carnally, but they have been there for many years. They have never given themselves an opportunity for change. The day they allow God, by changing their way of thinking, they'll be amazed how much glory they should have had. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to teach in the church. You don't need to have a teaching ministry first. The Bible says the servant of the Lord must be apt to teach. Teach in the house of God. Since you're a pastor, you're the head of a congregation, an overseer, teach them the word of God. Open the Bible and show them. Don't teach human advice. Teach the scriptures. Hallelujah. You're still there? Okay. So, let's look at this now. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm talking about you can stay yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stay up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You see, imagine this. He says, we laid hands on you. You received the gift. But now, you must stir it up. It's not going to work just because we laid hands on you. Somebody said, hands were laid on me. And I believe a gift was ministered to me, but it never worked. It never worked? You're like Timothy then. You see it? It would have never worked for Timothy. So the man of God, Paul, told him what to do. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Which means that when he laid hands on Timothy, a gift was transmitted. But that gift would only work when you stir it up. Imagine that I lay hands on you and transmit and impact to you a gift of the Spirit. And then you travel from here. It may not work in the hotel. It may not work on the plane. It may not work when you arrive at the airport. You will have to stir it up. Glory to God. You say, how do I stir it up? That's another session. But I just want you to know, you got a responsibility. Okay? You can stir it up. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
In this next segment, be inspired as Pastor Chris teaches on how to raise children and not converts.
Converts come and go. Children stay.
Also, learn how to practice God's word and see results. You are watching the International School of Ministry Ministers Network Conference. Be blessed as you watch.
Okay. Now, the third one, which is just as important as any of these other ones. And really, if you notice, they're all related, these different kinds of prayer. And especially, you see, it depends on what you want. Do you want real results? Or you want results that look like results? Because there are results that look like results, but are not results at all. You know, some people are successful in a way that looks like success, but not success at all. But when we read what God said to Joshua, he talked about good success. You see, good success. So if you want good success, that means the real deal. Real success. If you want it, then there's a way. There's a way. Glory to God. There's a way. Okay, now. I just told you. What you want is your children. Okay? For the kingdom of God. Not converts. Converts come and go. Children stay. That's a huge difference. That's how come we can have children of ministry all around the world. Wherever they go, they carry out the same thing everywhere. That's why. Because they are children. They're not converts. We didn't raise them to be converts. We raised them as children. But children are born. You see it? Children are born. They're not employed. They're born. That's the difference. You are so quiet now. Like you can hear a pin drop. Glory to God. Yeah. Children. That's what you want. That's what you want. Real